seems far away, when God is near, is near. Every fear is set aside, when God is near, is near. How can I stray? How can I falter? I'll stay upon the altar. I know.
Enjoyed that. Let's go to our Bibles this morning to John chapter 7. Find it there, Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John in the New Testament. Very easy to find if you're getting familiar with your Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and the Gospel of John chapter 7. It was a young child that got close to the fire alarm out there and pulled it, so that's exactly what happened, as I thought. Not the first time that's happened over the years, and probably not the last. I think the first time on a Sunday morning, though, in a service like that. But anyway, it's funny because Joe and I, we met with the county, I forget his official title, but it's the man that's in charge of, basically natural disasters, you know, tornadoes, anytime there's a tornado in the area. Who was that? What was his title, Joe? Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I knew that all along, so... But anyway, we talked about what to do, you know, if there is a tornado here in our area during church time. And specifically, of course, Kankakee County is a big area, and sometimes tornadoes aren't really close to us, but yet the horns go off. And so he came in and he told us where people should go. And we probably are going to do a mock emergency drill some Sunday. So I thought maybe they just decided to have one without my knowledge, you know. But anyway, we actually, believe it or not, people always thought, well, that school building's a disaster. That school building is probably safer than this church building, really, the way it's constructed over there. So, but anyway, we've been meeting with them. And Wade and Karen, of course, were out there in Marshalltown. Boy, they had bad tornadoes about a month ago now, wasn't it, Brother Wade? About a month ago, 3 weeks ago, something like that. And downtown was hit real hard. Their church was spared. But God's been very, very good to us. And, you know, but that's a potential, so we have to be prepared for it. So that we'll give you a heads up before we just start sending off the fire alarms, all right, here like that. Okay, here we go. We're in John chapter 7. Let's stand together. We're going to read a couple of verses. Verse number 37 and 38. You've been sitting for a while. Stretch your legs. Verse number 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." So I want to speak to you this morning on the flowing river. The flowing river. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your goodness to us. Thank you for a safe building to meet in. Thank you for all the technology, Lord, that's available today to keep people in places safe. But we know that ultimately safety is from you. And we thank you for that. Bless this message to our hearts. Speak to the soul that needs it, Lord. May we be encouraged, helped, blessed, challenged. May your Spirit rest upon us as only He can. And we'll thank you in Christ's name and amen. Thank you and be seated. The last couple of weeks, I have had the opportunity to preach under a tent. Hadn't done that in years and years and years. And all of a sudden, wham, 2 weeks in a row, I have preached under a tent. Preached under a tent at Cedar River. And preached under a tent this past week at the camp meeting in Michigan. Uncanny, in both places, there was a downpour of rain at least once while I was under the tent. John Booth got up to preach Thursday morning out there, and honestly, folks, the heavens just opened up, and it was a downpour. And even though it was a fabric, you could hardly hear yourself think, you know, with all that rain coming down. Same thing happened in Michigan. Up there on Tuesday night, right at 7 o'clock, boom, I mean, right as the service started, the rain just came like crazy. And in both cases, it creates quite a stir. You know, I enjoyed it. This has been a relatively dry summer for us, and to see that kind of rainfall was just a blessing. It poured. Now, you know that water is a precious natural resource. I remember years ago when Joyce and I, not years, but some time ago when Joyce and I last went to Madagascar, we went during the daytime as opposed to the nighttime, the first trip we made. So we're flying over, we've left Paris, and we're flying the whole length of the continent of Africa down to that island off the coast of Southeast Africa. And it's a clear day, and I'm looking out the plane window, and I'm looking at this humongous brown spot. I mean, it's brown. It's for miles and miles and miles of brown. And then it dawned on me, we're over the Sahara Desert. It was a humongous tract of land, absolutely barren. And one of the reasons, because there's very little rainfall there. No water. It's always interesting to me in this area as I drive around to see if the creeks and the rivers are down, are they up? Sometimes they're bank full. Other times they're overflowing their banks. Other times they are way down from the bank, indicating a drought. We live in an agricultural area. It's dependent upon good water, all right? So, and not just the agriculture, you know, how necessary water is to our physical well-being. You've heard, you've read, we've been told, it's recommended that you drink eight-ounce glasses of water a day. That's 60, that's a half a gallon of water. Not a half a gallon of Coca-Cola, Brother Delbert, a half a gallon of water. That's a lot of water, folks. You think it's not, but you start drinking, that's a ton of water. And that's because we dehydrate as we go through our day, and the results of dehydration are severe. Didn't know how severe they were until my son-in-law, Alan, got dehydrated 2 summers ago working at the place over there. And I'm telling you, he had a rough go of it because he got dehydrated. And so it's important that we hydrate. And the hydration-dehydration process is a normal function of our physical makeup, and good health requires that the process be working well. Okay, now, all of that to say this, there is a similar process necessary for us to have good spiritual health. There's a hydration-dehydration process that we should be going through spiritually to have good spiritual health. Now, we learn a little bit about it in this passage here. I just pulled 2 verses out of a lengthy passage. But I don't have time to go into all of it this morning. So let me give you the setting. In Jerusalem, they are having the Feast of Tabernacles. This is one of the Jews' most important feasts of the year. Jerusalem, especially the temple area, would be packed with people. And the people would put up tents. They would put up booths. And they would dwell in those booths and in those tents all week, 7 days. They lived in those booths. They dwelt in those booths. There was a purpose for it. The purpose was for them to remember what it was like for their forefathers who came out of the land of Egypt and lived in tents as they went through the wilderness. God did not want His people to forget that, so He had the Feast of Tabernacles. This is going on in Jerusalem, which means the place is full. It's packed. It's way more populated than normal. Well, Jesus is going to the feast, but He is going in His own good time. You see, He was a hated man. A hated man. So badly hated, the Jews wanted to kill Him. And there's so much in this story I don't have time to get to. In the chapter previously, early in the chapter, it tells us that Jesus gets to the feast and He immediately goes to the temple and He taught. And as He was teaching, automatically the Jews started in. You see it in verse number 30. Then they sought to take Him. That means to take Him physically. They sought to apprehend Him. They were going to kill Him. And so right away they start after Him. Now look at verse number 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast. So this was the pinnacle. All week long was building up to the last day. If anybody came late, they wouldn't be late for the last day, because that was the great day of the feast. Look what happened. Jesus stood and cried. Now this is not my message. This has nothing to do with my message. But it's a good place for me to interject something here, especially for people who might be new to Baptist churches. It's interesting to me that the Bible says very plainly that Jesus stood and cried. People, sometimes folks ask this question when they visit a church like ours for the first time. Why is the preaching so loud? Why is it so loud? People, that's because Bible preaching has an urgency to it. There is a fervency. I could take the time this morning. I can't. But I could tell you about the word preach. It means to herald divine truth. Lift up your voice, Isaiah said, like a trumpet. That's a bold sound. So this is why we don't just get up here and rap with the audience. We don't get up here and just kind of talk. That's Sunday school. There's a place for talking and teaching, but this pulpit is designed for the preaching of God's Word, all right? The heralding of God's Word. And so on this last day, Jesus stands and He lifts up His voice and He cries out for as many people to hear Him as possible. Now, my message today is in two parts. Let me give you part number one. It's Jesus' invitation. I want you to look what He said. When He stood up and He lifted up His voice, look at what He said in verse 37. If any man thirst, let him come unto Me and drink. Now, there's the invitation. I want to point out three words to you that Jesus gave in this invitation. First word is the word thirst. The word thirst. Now, people, do you know what thirst is? Thirst is the acknowledgement. Thirst is the awareness that we need a drink. Now, some people have, disciplined themselves to drink 64 ounces or more of water a day, and they're constantly sipping water, even though they may not be thirsty. Nothing wrong with that, but thirst is an acknowledgement. Thirst is an awareness that I need a drink. Now, people, thirst is the first step that a sinner needs to experience in order to be saved. Thirst is that knowledge that I need something. Something is missing in my life. I am in need. I have a void that needs to be filled. That's different than just the habitual taking, sipping of water throughout the day. Thirst is an awareness. Thirst is an acknowledgement that I need a drink. That's what happened to me the afternoon of October 15th, 1975. About 1:30 in the afternoon, the Spirit of God's conviction landed on my heart, and I realized, I think possibly for the first time in my life, that I needed a drink. I was aware. Now, I'm not talking about physical water. I'm not talking about this stuff right here. I needed something for my soul. I needed something to fill the emptiness. I needed something to fill the void. I was aware. I acknowledged the fact that I... Now, look. The degree of that thirst varies from person to person. A little six-year-old child, not like me at 18, having lived in some bad sin, that six-year-old child may not have the degree of thirst that I had. But friend, if they get saved, there's got to be a thirst. There's got to be an acknowledgement. There's got to be an awareness that I'm a sinner. And every any child, any teenager, any adult who gets saved has to first acknowledge their need of salvation. There is a thirsting. There is an awareness. There is an acknowledgement. My soul, my life, my heart needs something. So Jesus said, if any man thirst. I'm going to tell you something. I'm just going to hit this and move on. I am for soul winning. I am for going soul winning. I'm for talking to people. I preached that last Sunday. The people, you can have somebody bow a head in the middle of the day, not paying a bit of attention to what you're saying, and just repeat some words after you in prayer, and that's not salvation. There has to be a thirst. There has to be a thirst. They say, what are you saying, Pastor? They gotta feel this horrible... No, I just said that degree of thirst varies from person to person. And for a six-year-old, it's going to be different than it was for an 18-year-old or a 40-year-old. But there's got to be thirst. There's got to be an awareness, an acknowledgement, I need something. Okay? Now, the second word Jesus said here in this verse, He said, if any man thirst, let him come. There's the second word. The word is come. This is the turning to Jesus. And by the way, look at what Jesus said. Let him come unto me. He didn't leave it out there undefined. Jesus said, if you thirst, if any man, boy, girl, woman, man, if any human being thirst, let them come unto me. There are a lot of spiritually thirsty people in this world who are turning to the wrong source when they're thirsty. They're turning to the wrong source for a drink. I was thinking this week, people turn to fleshly indulgences. They attempt to quench their thirst, that spiritual thirst. They attempt to quench it through alcohol. They attempt to quench it through drugs. They attempt to quench it through immoral relationships. They attempt to quench it through all kinds of fleshly indulgences. Listen carefully. All of those roads lead to dead ends. And in some cases, it's a literal dead end. It's a literal dead end. Now, here's the thing about fleshly indulgences that's so dangerous. There is a pleasure in sin for a season. So people see the temporary pleasure, and that blinds them to the inevitable emptiness. But when you try to satisfy the longing in your soul for a drink, you try to satisfy that with fleshly indulgences, you're going to come up dry every time. Every time. But now, wait a minute. That's not the only place people look to satisfy. Some people look to spiritual indulgences. Yes, some seek to quench their thirst through mysticism, through the occult, or the worship of a false god, or an idol. Those people over there in Madagascar where Ben and Ashley minister and their family, their animism is the main religion over there. That's the worship of the spirits of their dead ancestors. I've told you before, they pull the bones out of the tombs. They have a feast. They burn candles. They have a parade. They have a celebration. They call out to the spirits of their dead ancestors. You say, what's that all about? I'll tell you what it's about. It's about trying to satisfy the thirst that's in their soul, but they're going to the wrong source to satisfy that thirst. They're going to the wrong... And boy, I'm telling you, the spiritual entity that they seek to, you know, to get approval from, a lot of times that requires a great sacrifice for them. Do you know, you've read the stories, many of you have, do you know there are ladies, there are women, there are mothers in heathen lands that have thrown their babies to crocodiles? And if it was a multiple child family, and there was an afflicted child and a healthy child, they didn't throw the afflicted child to the crocodiles. They threw the healthy child to the crocodiles. Trying to appease their false god. Trying to appease somebody. They stick discs of bones and things in their lips and in their ears. You've seen pictures. What is all that? You say, I've seen that in National Geographic. Those big old discs in their lips and all kinds of... What is that? That is the desire to satisfy the thirst that's in their soul. But they're doing it by some spirit indulgence. This is what Jesus said in John chapter 4 to the lady at the well. Verse number 14, Jesus said this, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. You know what that means, folks? It's satisfying. Through the death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus opened a fountain of living water that will quench and satisfy the thirsting in your soul. Now, if you're here this morning and you're aware that you need something to satisfy the longing in your heart, and you've been looking for it in alcohol or in drugs or in immorality or popularity or gambling or mysticism or something else, turn from any of that, turn from all of that, and come to Christ. If any man thirsts, you got a thirsting in your soul? Come to Jesus. Come to Christ. So he says, thirst, whoever is aware, whoever acknowledges the fact that they need something, then let that person come to me. And then he said, the last thing he said was, in verse number 37, and drink. Now, folks, what does it mean to drink? You see, I can be aware and acknowledge the fact that I'm thirsty. And I can even be aware and acknowledge the fact that that's water, and that water is going to satisfy my thirst. I can be aware of that. I can know that. But I will not have my thirst satisfied until I pick the glass up and take a drink. There are a lot of people who know Jesus died on the cross. They know He was buried. They know He rose again. They may even understand that He's the way to salvation, but they have refused so far in life to take a drink. From time to time, I talk to some of them. From time to time, if you're a soul winner, or you try to be, you talk to them. You show them the plan of salvation. They acknowledge that they're a sinner. They're aware of it. They agree with it. And you show them in the Scriptures that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again for their salvation, and they agree with that. And you show them in the Scriptures where there's no other way to heaven but through Jesus, and they agree with that. And then you say, now, don't you want a drink? No, I'm not ready. No, I need to understand. I don't know what more there is to understand. Jesus made it pretty simple. He said, are you thirsty? If you're thirsty, come to me and take a drink. That means to engage. It means to commit. It means to trust. It means to embrace. Are you thirsty this morning? You're aware that all is not well in your soul. There's unrest in your heart. There's no sweet assurance that heaven is your home. You're aware of it. You acknowledge it. You're thirsty. Can I say to you this morning, come to Jesus and take a drink. What a wonderful invitation. Given by the Son of God, by His mouth, with His lips, with His voice, are you thirsty? Come drink. In so many words, that's what that preacher said to me in the service on that Wednesday night by way of his message. Hey, are you thirsty? Come to Christ and drink. I did. And guess what? gets satisfied. That hunger, that longing, that emptiness, the whole thing was fixed. The night I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. True, real, authentic salvation is what every person needs. It's not hard to get. Are you thirsty? Come to Jesus and drink. Trust Christ. It's that easy. Now, that's part number one. Let me hurry just to preach part number two to you this morning. This is really the burden of my message today. So look at verse number 38. So Jesus gives the invitation in verse 37. And then he says in verse number 38, "He that believeth on me." Now, who is that? That's the person who thirsted, came to him and took a drink. They've been saved. "He that believeth on me." Okay, those that are saved, look what he said. "As the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Jesus said, okay, are you thirsty? Come to me and drink. And once you come to me and drink, then I'm going to satisfy your soul. And out of your belly. Now I want you to look at the terminology he used here. Look at those words. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Church, when a person gets saved, God puts something in them that is a continual source of spiritual life, a fountain, a well, a spring. You say, what is it? Look at verse 39. "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified." I don't have time to define that, to explain that whole verse to you. But what I'm saying is this, that well, that source of spiritual life, that fountain, that spring, it's not really, it's not something that God puts in us. It's someone. The Holy Spirit is given to everybody who gets saved. The Holy Spirit is the source of spiritual life that is in us once we get saved. Listen to Jesus again in John chapter 4, verse 14. "The water that I shall give him," don't miss this, "shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." And the source of that well of everlasting spiritual life is none other than the Holy Spirit of God. And God calls that spiritual life living water. Living water. Now, what water is living? If you go to a pond somewhere and it's just stagnant, that water's dying. That's not living. Right? You see a little creek, it's living is moving. Moving. Flowing. So Jesus said, are you thirsty? If you're thirsty, come to me. I'm the only source. And when you come to me, take a drink and commit your life to me. And when you do, I'm going to put inside you someone who is the source, the well, the spring, flowing with living water. It's going to flow in you. I think this is what Jesus meant when he said in John chapter 10, verse 10, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Living water, moving water is the graces and the comforts and the gifts of the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit provides for us. People, when Jesus saved us, every saved person has this source. Every saved person has this fountain. Every saved person has this spring. This well of living, moving, flowing water that flows like a river inside of us, deep inside of us, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And again, that's the Holy Spirit. He has the grace and the power and the wisdom to help us enjoy the full benefits of our salvation. Do you see those words, folks? Rivers of living water. I'm here to tell you, my friend, that what God did when He saved us was enough to satisfy and fill us and overflow us. And I mean thrill us and bless us. Salvation is more than just a fire escape from hell. It is a living fountain of water that is flowing from our bellies. It's like moving water, living water, welling up within us. Look, I would not stand in this pulpit and declare that a saved person has no troubles, no heartaches, and no difficulty. I would not say that. Because that's not true. But I will stand and declare that salvation brings a fullness, a completeness, a joy unspeakable and full of glory. There is nothing that can compare with the fullness of belonging to God. With being His child, being saved. People, for a few years of my teenage existence, I gave myself to things that this world offers for fullness of joy. The things that this world offers for completeness of life. I gave myself to those things. They were all empty. In the end, it was nothing. It was bitter. It was void of real fullness. But when I got saved, that brought a well, a river of living water flowing up in my life. Do you agree with that? That's what salvation is? Then why are so many of God's people bored with salvation? By the way, I'm for amens and shouting. Do you do any during the week? Why are so many of God's people bored with salvation? They're bored with it. And folks, here's the reason why. This wonderful salvation that God put in us when we realized we needed a drink and we came to Jesus and drank, He put the Spirit of God in us that provides this well, this source, this fountain of living. It's not just for us. Look at it. Out of His belly shall flow. Salvation is so big. Salvation is so full. Salvation is so complete. It fills us bank full. And it should overflow from our lives to touch other people around us. That's exactly what it should do. That's the kind of salvation Jesus is talking about in this passage. And you know why Christians are bored with salvation? I'm talking about Christians who are not involved in wicked sin. Christians who are not worldly. But they're bored with salvation. You know why? Stagnant. There's nothing flowing out. It's filling you up, but you're just squashing it. It's supposed to fill us up and spill over. So when I go through the community, I am a living, walking, breathing example of the river of life that's within me. People see it. People can hear it. There's something about that person. That's what's supposed to happen. Not a stagnant pond. We have separated from the world Christians, bored with their salvation. Because you're not using it to do anything for anybody. That's what salvation is supposed to do. It's supposed to touch others. It's supposed to flow out of us. This endless supply of living water that the Holy Spirit gives us is not just for us. It's supposed to flow to others. And I don't know if I can adequately emphasize the importance of this truth this morning. But friend, salvation is not just for me and you to enjoy the fullness of. Yes, we're supposed to be full of the joy of salvation, but it's supposed to flow out of us and touch others. And touch others. The local church is a great place for something to flow out of you. Something. And then people say, well, you know, I just can't do anything at the local church, so I really have people. There are ways to reach out and touch others. There are ways. Let me tell you something. Just being decent and kind to people in this world anymore is a great way to let that river of living water flow out of us. Just be peaceful. Look, if you travel to an area that you've not been in before, okay? Or okay, for anybody that hunts, okay, you're going to go hunt a property. You've never been on the property. And so you get the address of the property, you get the boundaries, and you go on Google Earth. Isn't it amazing what you can do today? Huh? You go on Google Earth, and now you've got an aerial view. Right? You got an aerial view of the property. So you're looking down at this property. If it's hunting property, probably somewhere within that the boundaries of that property, there is a tree line. It's green. And it's winding through the property. And immediately, what do you know? The creek there. River. I mean, it may be so small that you can't see it. But as it winds its way through that property, it leaves in its wake, or it creates in its wake, this greenness. These trees, these grasses. And immediately, you know, that's a creek. That's a river. And people, when we come to the end of our life, and we've gathered up in heaven, and we've got an aerial view of how we lived, will there be, through the course of our life, a little patch of green winding its way through, snaking through, where we brought water? Where the water overflowed from us to other people? Is that going to happen? This is what Jesus said. He said, if you're thirsty, you come to me and drink. And if you do that, I'm going to put someone in you who is going to be a source of living water that flows, running water that moves and flows out of your life. It's going to overflow the banks of... If we don't mess with salvation, it overflows the banks of our life and reaches out and touches others. But some people never reach out. They're so separated, they're stagnant. And I'll promise you, you get bored with salvation. Bored with it. Bored. Come to church, sing. Yeah, it's good. I enjoyed it. Out we go again. You get bored with it. T. DeWitt Talmage was a great preacher. This is what he said. It's a little strong, but listen to what he said. He said, "Ah, my friends, it is not how long we live, but how well we live and how useful we live. A man who lives to be 80 years and accomplishes nothing for God or humanity might better have never lived at all." Wow. That's pretty strong. But when I compare what he said to what Jesus said in John 7:38, the river, the flowing river, when Jesus saved us, he put something inside of us that's not just good for us, it's good for others we come into contact with. Our salvation should be a flowing river. A flowing river. For me, it means it should be flowing, touching my wife. It should help my wife, bless my wife, my children, my grandchildren, my parents, my neighbors, where I go in town. Flowing. Let me ask you a question. Is the river flowing? Is the river flowing? Or is it dammed up? You want to get bored with your full salvation? Just become a dam. Filled up, but not flowing. May God help us to be a flowing river in this life. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning. I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to help us this morning, and then we'll have the invitation. Father, it's kind of a strange morning with all that went on, but that's okay. We've come to your word. And God, I pray that You'll take Your Word this morning and use it like a double-edged sword in our life. Lord, thank You for the fullness and the completeness, the satisfaction of being saved. What a joy it is. The songwriter said it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. But Lord, may it not stop up in us. May it flow. May it flow. May it flow from our innermost being. May it flow to people around us. May it flow to our family. May it flow to fellow believers here in the church. Help us, oh God, please, to be a flowing river. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Wonder who would say, Pastor, I know I'm saved, but man, I'm challenged this morning to be that kind of Christian, a flowing river. I don't want to be a stopped up dam full of the joy of salvation, but not flowing to anybody. And the Lord spoke to me about it this morning. Would you lift your hand this morning wherever you're sitting? God bless you. Amen. I appreciate that. You may take your hands down. I appreciate it. I join you and say, oh God, help me to be a flowing river. Now let me ask this morning, are you saved? Do you need a drink? Have you been trying to satisfy the longing in your soul, the emptiness in your heart through some fleshly indulgence or some spiritual indulgence that's not Jesus Christ? Do you need a drink? Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up if that's you this morning? I just want to not pray for you by name, but just pray for you generically. Is there anybody like that here today, front to back, side to side, upstairs? I'm not sure I'm saved. I need a drink. I know I need a drink. I've been going to the wrong source. If you've been saved this morning, but you never followed the Lord in believer's baptism, then I would invite you to come and trust Christ today and be saved. Take that drink of water, first of all, be saved. And then if you need to be baptized, you come follow the Lord in believer's baptism. If that's your need this morning, you ought to come this morning. And first of all, be saved. And then if you are been saved, follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And for the rest, for those of us who are saved and baptized, it's God make my life a flowing river. A flowing river. Bringing life. Touching people wherever I go. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The ladies are playing a song of invitation. You just obey the Lord this morning as we wait. Are you a flowing river? Did God speak to you about being a flowing river? Is there somebody in your family? Somebody in your family? Your workplace, you should influence for Christ. While we wait this morning, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Flowing river. A flowing river. God, make my behavior, make my actions, make my words such that when I live, walk through my life, there's the evidence of that flowing river left behind. God, make it so. Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, would you please bless us this week? May we not forget this. And when we come through this chapter again in our Bible reading, I pray that your Spirit will remind us of what Jesus taught here about the flowing river. And this week, these next 7 days, may we touch somebody with the river that flows out of our belly. In Jesus' name. Let's be seated. Amen. You may be seated. Please, let's go again. Dismiss those that need to catch the bus. If you need to ride the bus this morning, you can be sure and head out right now. I'm going to slip back and we'll baptize and then we'll be on our way. Young people had a good week out of Cedar River, and Trey Lefeu got the assurance of his salvation out there and has come this morning to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. So, Trey, I baptize you now, my brother, upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and picture of his death, burial, and resurrection. Amen. Buried in the likeness of his death and raised in the likeness of his resurrection to walk in newness of life. All right, very good. Let's stand together. We will be dismissed. Thank you for being here today. Shake hands with somebody. We'll see you tonight. Don't forget, we will take an offering for Brother Dallas to be a blessing to the church up there in Lockport. See you later. Bye-bye.